You're inside My Fix It Up Life with Mark and Teresa. Today, we're climbing out of the clutter and learning how to get better organized with professional help from HGTV's Canada's Neat star, Helen. And we're giving away Stanley's Fat Max Lock and Stock to one lucky fan. So take a much-deserved break from your hectic Fix It Up Life and keep listening to our Fix It Up Life. It's all happening next on My Fix It Up Life.
Portions of My Fix It Up Life are brought to you by FixMyHog.com, the number one DVD source for do-it-yourself Harley-Davidson maintenance and performance.
Life with my husband Mark
and my wife Teresa and our new bumper music.
Oh, and we are live, well, from New York, sort of. Back from New York. We are. We're live back from New York.
We're live from New York in the WCHE studio.
We're live
in New York.
Live back from New York.
Yeah, we
just
went
like Jay-Z.
We went to Nueva York yesterday.
Totally.
Wicked awesome meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it's so warm out. We got to spend time in Central Park with some ladies that were, you know, sunbathing in their bikinis.
Apparently, people in New York were a little more ready for the weather than we were, because, yeah, no joke, lots of bikinis.
Yeah, didn't really see that where in our town where we live.
No. No, we didn't.
No.
And probably a good thing for everybody concerned.
But I think they live a little larger in New York City.
I have a feeling they were college kids and that kind of thing, because it was in the middle of the business day. Because our meeting ended after lunch.
Yeah, way after lunch. And, you know, it was kind of a really good lunch, too, because I had lunch with Gail King.
Yeah, and everyone knows who Gail King is.
Totally.
Lots of people do know who Gail King is.
Oprah's best friend.
Yeah, Oprah's best friend,
yes.
Editorial director of O Magazine.
Yes.
Which is published in the building where we were yesterday.
Yes.
Which is the Hearst Tower in New York City.
So yes.
Yeah. And for those of you following the green building trend, the Hearst Tower is
LEED Gold certified.
LEED Gold certified. That place uses like an ounce of petroleum fossil fuels to heat all 597 feet of it.
Oh, it's a gorgeous building, too.
The steel has got a high content of recycled material in it
that
they built it out of. And if you go on the Inner Line and you look up the Hearst building, you'll see
for
on
everyone
Wikipedia.
Else, it's the internet.
It'll have sort of a honeycomb structure to it, which uses less steel in the actual construction of the building.
And it's gorgeous.
Oh, things killer.
Yes, and it's a historic building as well. It's built on, well, inside, around, what is the deal?
I forget how many stories it is. In fact, is it on here? I had it on one of my pages before.
Yeah, you wrote it down. That's good. Took some notes.
46 stories. The six-story base, and there's a little story wrapped up in this story, was originally commissioned by William Randolph Hearst, on which I believe the film Rosebud, Citizen Kane, was based. It was the original Hearst Publishing headquarters, and it was intended to be a skyscraper, but the Depression hit, and they clipped it off at six stories. Well, anyway, they took this modern tower, and it was built in 2002, I think, and put it inside the facade of this limestone building. So we pull up in the cab thinking we're going to this glass, you know.
Well, the deal is that we've been to the building before.
Yeah.
We've been in there. We've had meetings in there before, but our cab driver has always dropped us off right in front of the front door. This cab driver didn't really know where he was going, apparently. He had some trouble along the way. We almost, you know, got in several accidents. Anyway, and he dropped us off down sort of the block from the actual entrance to the building. So we were looking around. We're like, this isn't it.
This isn't a glass-enclosed nerve center.
Because we've been there.
Yeah.
Can't be. And then, like, I kind of ducked down and peeked up, and there it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we eventually found it. But
and then I had lunch with Gail.
And then you had lunch with Gail.
And
Oprah.
Oprah wasn't there yesterday, unfortunately.
She wasn't, but actually we were sitting there, and we had a
meeting. Had a lovely lunch with some folks from Popular Mechanics.
Yes.
And Gail King just happened to walk into the cafeteria at the same time. And by cafeteria, it's not what you think. It's not a cafeteria. It is gorgeous.
I mean, it's
I had
seriously.
The sashimi and sushi combo platter that was, like, there's, like, three or four sushi chefs there. I mean,
yeah.
like, it is hot in there. I mean, it
oh,
is, like...
Oh, the place is a smoke show.
Yeah, gorgeous.
And they eat there every day, and I remember when we were setting up the phone call, they got offered, we got offered to be taken to lunch, and he said, it's the cafeteria, but it's not a cafeteria.
It is so not a cafeteria.
It's more like a restaurant.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Yeah, but it was good. It was really good.
So, you know, I just kicked back with my buddy.
But we talked with our friends at Popular Mechanics about a project that we're exploring moving forward with.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's about a project to do, can't tell you.
Oh.
You know what we can talk about, though? Well, finally, I've been dying to talk about this.
Well, we're going to be doing a project with Popular Mechanics. In June, we're going to be working on a project rebuilding together, Philadelphia.
Yeah, here in Philadelphia, we're rebuilding together, which is a national organization.
Yes.
Started here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that we're working with their headquarters and Popular Mechanics
yes.
and some other sponsors who we don't know who they are yet.
Well, that's to be revealed later.
That's to be but we've had this on the books for a while, and I keep saying to Teresa, can we talk about it now?
No.
Can we talk about it now?
No.
Yeah, I feel, seriously, I'm like...
It's like talking to Alexi. Are we there yet? No.
We're going to broadcast live.
When the car stops, that's when we're there. Is the car stopped yet? No. Okay, we're not there yet.
We're going to broadcast live from there. We're going to interview all kinds of cool people that are involved with it, all kinds of cool companies and products. But really, I'm just dying to strap my bags on and build some stuff.
Yes.
I love doing those kinds of things.
I know.
So we'll let you know yes. when we know about what it is.
Well, and today we're talking, though, about getting organized, which is so important.
Hugely important.
Yes.
In 100 different ways.
Yes, it is really important. And, you know, we live in an old house, 100-year-old house, and when we bought the house, it had absolutely no closets.
Not zero closets on the first floor.
Which is so not conducive to, you know, a modern lifestyle. There's no place to, like, hang a coat when you go into the house.
Yeah.
There is no place to put a broom or a mop or...
Nothing.
You know, Swiffer, whatever, vacuum cleaner.
Or, if you will,
you want to buy...
Swifter.
Yeah, whatever. if you, you know, buy, like, the 12 packs of toilet paper, no place to
no.
put it.
Absolutely. Put them outside.
No.
Yeah. So, and even by old house standards, which, you know, anybody who lives in an old house knows that storage is always at a premium. No closets? I mean, zero?
Yeah, it was pretty tough to manage. So
ridiculous.
We've had to get creative to try to get organized, because if we didn't try to find unique spaces to put our stuff,
you'd
we
find
are,
us on the hoarders.
Totally.
Whatever
we would be walking
on.
Around on all of our things. It would be absolute a mess. It would
be chaos.
Yeah.
It would be absolute chaos. But on the home improvement end of things, a good way to stay organized is to finish the project you're working on all the way until you're done
mm-hmm.
before you start the next one.
That's really important, too, because you'd
yeah.
be so frustrated.
Oh. Well, we're living it right now. I'm a total hypocrite, although some of our unfinished projects have a lot to do with editorial deadlines for the articles that we do and stuff. We've had to half complete something to start something else to make the deadline. So we've got a roof, we've got crown molding, we've got all kinds of stuff like haloing the My Fix It Up Life headquarters.
Yes.
And killing us.
Yes. Well, yeah, but we're very lucky to have so many projects going on, and it's awfully fun too. But
it
we have
fun.
A special guest today.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Do you want to know who it is?
No.
Do you want to share who it is?
No.
Do you care who it is?
Yes.
Well, good. I'm glad you at least care. Helen from Neat. She's on HGTV Canada's Neat. And, you know, she is super, super hot in Canada. And she's hot here in the U.S. too.
Totally.
Yeah. So she's going to help give us a little bit of advice on how to clear away our clutter and get organized.
Very important.
And we have
important.
A cool giveaway today.
I want to know what it is. Actually, I know what it is. I mean, who am I kidding? It's like one of those commercials where you pretend that you don't
Hi, know. Mark.
Hi.
I'm Teresa. Would you like to know what our giveaway is today?
Actually, it's an 8-cylinder, 4x4. You know, I know every detail about the specifications of that.
Well, we're giving away the Stanley Fatmax Lock-In-Stock, which is so cool because it has so many little compartments for all kinds of stuff, but it's on wheels, too.
Like a rollerboard suitcase.
Totally.
Yeah, and we've had one since they first were introduced. You know, we're early. We're early.
We're early tool adopters.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're all the way there. We're like the iPad folks. You know, we're all the way there.
Well, he sent us one, and the thing has changed my fastener and small tool storage life. Yeah. Seriously, no joke.
And you can hang it on the wall.
And you can hang it on the wall
you
or the bin.
You can roll it around.
Wall.
It's awesome.
Wow. I hope we have a break coming up because the singing just blew me away.
Really?
Yeah.
Blew away in a positive way?
Yeah, in a positive way, but also totally have no idea what's happening.
Well, we're going to go to break. Mark and I are going to hold hands, and we'll be back in just a minute with more
My Fix It Up Life.
TikTok, Mark.
What?
Time is running out for homeowners to take advantage of up to $1,500 in energy tax credit from the federal government on their 2010 taxes.
That's right. And if homeowners are thinking about replacing their windows, Simonton Windows has energy tax credit glass packages that are guaranteed to meet the government's requirements.
It's like money in your pocket, daily savings on energy bills, and a $1,500 tax credit.
For more information, visit Simonton.com/tax credit or call 1-800-746-6686 today. Hurry before time runs out.
Yo, mic check. Yeah, here you go. Oh, nah, he over here. Yeah, I heard he got that hot new thing. It's called
Let's get it going inside My Fix It Up Life with Mark and Teresa. Hi, baby.
I'm Teresa.
And I've got some coffee.
Mark has too much coffee. We're going to have to, I don't know, there has to be some kind of ordinance about that.
We got this across the street at Penn's Table Diner. Is that where we got it?
Yeah, we did. We sat outside. Gorgeous day today. Mark wore his bikini.
Smoke show
right,
of
honey?
A day. Can we just look? I did.
You can't help
I didn't
yourself.
Even know I was going to do it, but listen.
We'll see.
Can we just,
I just wanna
minimize
jump back.
The Mark cross-dresses thing?
I want to jump back a second. Because
jump
driving,
back, Jack.
Because I was telling Lexi, our 8-year-old, that we saw girls in bikinis at the park yesterday.
Yeah, and we did, and it was cool.
And she said, Teresa, why didn't you bring yours? I said, well, I was at a business meeting. She's like, well, you could have worn underneath your outfit, and then you could have gone to the park and taken off your clothes, and there you would have been in your bikini.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, that's interesting. Maybe the next time I have an important meeting, I should tell everyone in advance that everyone needs to be wearing their bathing suits in case you want to take the meeting outside, and then we could all be in our swim gear.
So if you're afraid...
That was the advice from the 8-year-old.
That's good 8-year-old advice.
That's advice, yeah.
That is good advice.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're afraid of public speaking and need a tip to help a smile come across your face, just think of everybody in the audience wearing a bikini under their clothes.
Yeah. Some probably better than others.
You know what time it is in my Fix It Up lifetime?
It's Fix It Up Fine time, Mark.
Fix It Up Nation.
Behind door number one, we have...
We don't have any doors.
No. But we do have windows because it's Window Safety Week,
ooh,
Mark.
Ooh, nice fenestration segue.
Thank you.
Well played.
But it is Window Safety Week, and the National Safety Council designated this week as National Safety Week, and our friends at Simonton Windows shared some cool advice for that with us, and I would love to share it with everybody else.
It is.
Cool
it's good
you?
Advice. Yeah, we reviewed this together, and I dig this advice.
I totally dig it because everyone's opening their windows, well, at least this part of the country in the Northeast. You know, we're starting to open our windows, getting a little breath of fresh air flowing through, and, you know, you forget about some things, like us with our 18-month-old.
Right.
Last year... Couldn't have, like, even tried to get out of a window, even if he tried. Like, he probably wanted to, being the guy that he is.
I wanted to.
But thanks, honey.
Yeah,
that
hey.
Makes me feel
how
good
about
our family life.
Sorry.
But anyway, so they gave some tips based on age, and one of them is tips for toddlers and young children is to make sure to keep your furniture away from the windows, because they are so climby. Especially when they're toddlers. Oh, my goodness. They'll climb on everything.
They will.
And also a good tip is to open the top sash of a double-hung window so that the kids can't,
can't even get there.
Totally.
Even if they wanted to, they couldn't.
Well, and we have a situation at our house where we have a loft bed for the 8-year-old.
Yes.
And the loft bed is across a window.
Spans a window. That's correct.
And there's a guardrail up there for her on both sides, every side, so that she doesn't, like...
It's important to point out she couldn't get out of that if she tried to.
No, I don't think she could figure a way out. And that's not a dare, Lexi. So don't,
yeah,
don't
that's
try
not a dare.
It. Yeah, not a dare, please. But so we open up the top part of her window for her.
Yes.
And so, you know, one morning last spring, I think, I was changing Jack's diaper very early in the morning. He's not a good sleeper, so probably got woken up a few times that night.
A lot of bleary eyes involved here.
And the changing table is near the window, and so I was changing the diaper, and, you know, one of my cats comes up, little black and white kitten named Spotface, and she's meowing at me, and I'm like, oh, hi, Spotface. And then, like, 10 seconds pass by, I swear, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, you're outside. And she's not an outside cat.
Yeah.
She
outside,
was
on the roof, no less.
On our porch roof.
Yeah.
Outside the window.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my goodness, what's going on? We find out that she had pulled the screen down in Lexi's room and had jumped out and gotten on the roof at, I don't know when, in the middle of the night and how long she'd been on the roof, but...
Yeah.
Scared me. Like,
yeah.
You're not supposed to be on that side of the window, Spotface.
Well, one of the punchlines is that screens are not intended as barriers to hold people or animals in. They're intended to hold mosquitoes out.
Yes.
So it is a really important safety tip to not just close them, but to make sure that they're not used for, you know, there's a little kid's chair underneath or whatever, and people are banging on them. I am glad that Simonton brought this up because it is the right time of year.
It totally is. And there are a couple other little tips I want to just share, too.
And we do have to rush through them.
I know, it's just radio talk.
I could do radio talk like this.
No, I don't think you can because nobody can hear that. So one other thing is to, you know, not allow teenagers to go out of the windows and sit on the roof, too. And another really cool tip that they shared is that to plant shrubs, grass, and soft landscaping underneath windows, so to lessen the impact if someone falls out the window or, God forbid, your house gets on fire and like you need to have an escape plan.
Yep.
Good tip, I have to say.
I want to explore that a little further. I think we better get Eschmeyer on the horn again.
Oh, well, he'll just tell us to lock the windows and not even go out.
That'll solve
it. Turn your air
conditioning on. See, once again,
Eschmeyer,
genius.
Yeah. Well, do we have any time for anything else?
We really don't. We got to blast off to a break.
Oh, my goodness.
We do. We will get to more of these Fix It Up finds at a later date. But right now, we're blowing out of here and see you on the other side with more of my Fix It Up life.
The Carpenter's Notebook, a novel about building a better life.
I reach for my tape measure more like a gunslinger going for his six-shooter than a timid, albeit middle-aged, apprentice afraid to do the wrong thing.
2 years after his father's death, Brendan leaves his daughters and collapsing marriage to fulfill a promise he made to his mother, and he discovers the answers he wasn't looking for that end up helping his own life. Inside a heartwarming love story with raw, hammer-swinging detail, author Mark Clement shares the story of a man who discovers his father's job site life lesson. Dean Johnson, co-host of Home Time, says, "Home improvement is a thread that runs through many of our lives. Mark has woven it into a rich and unique story." Brett Witter, publisher of Chicken Soup for the Soul, says, "A wonderful book about building both houses and relationships that is wise, touching, and as satisfying as a hard day's work well done." Like Chicken Soup for the Soul, it shows us that the greatest wisdom is built from the material of everyday life. Check out The Carpenter's Notebook by Mark Clement on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and at bookstores nationwide.
Portions of this program brought to you by Codify Design Studio, specializing in graphic design across print, web, and mobile devices. Visit CodifyDesign.com. That's CodifyDesign.com.
Welcome back. You're back inside my Fix It Up life with my wife, Teresa.
And my husband, Mark.
And our question.
Ooh.
Our home improvement question.
We do. We have a great question that came to us from by email.
By email. So could you go to the binder where this is this Master Show binder here. Can you go to the binder and just
get Master Show binder.
The Master
Show. Where I keep all of the important documents.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And she's also a notary public. She seals her own documents with her own seal of approval.
I do.
I have my own powerhouse brand of approval. that I did once at, I made that up somewhere.
Anyway, so we
the
have
Rockwell
this really...
Booth?
Probably.
Yeah,
at the
in
Builder
Vegas.
Show in Vegas. But we got this question. It's a really important question, I think.
Yes.
Yes. I want to refinish my basement. There's a post I want to move. What are the issues?
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, for some reason, and I don't even need to look at my notes for this one, for some reason, taking structural columns out of basement support post and beam system is a popular thing people do. They just take a post out like it's not even doing anything.
And I can understand why you would want to take it out because, you know, you're finishing your basement. Mm-hmm. You want to use the square footage. Mm-hmm. You probably want to put a pool table in, a bar. You want to have a playroom. And those posts, while they're very important, are kind of in the way.
They get in the way of the pool table, like you said, or, mm-hmm. you know, the theater or whatever you're doing.
Yeah. You don't want a big post in the middle of where you're viewing your program.
Right. Right. Wow. But it's sort of like gravity. They're not an accident.
Yeah. You also don't want your house to fall down either, which is kind of probably more important than having a pool table.
A whole house collapse is probably...
Unlikely.
Yeah, because the whole place is held up by a membrane of other stuff.
It is.
But what you end up doing is you create bouncy floors.
Mm-hmm.
Your doors can sag. If there's steel inside it, in fact, I repaired a basement like this once that has a flitch plate, which is a wood header with a hunk of steel in there called a flitch plate. And it bent. I mean, it warped, like, big time.
But even if you do have posts, your house can sag a little bit, too. It's just age over time with the house.
The ground moves.
Yeah. Yeah. So it doesn't mean that your posts aren't doing their job. It just means that a house is, you know, it's made out of natural materials, so things move over time.
Yeah, especially old houses, for sure. So what are the issues involved? Short story, don't take it out. It's a structural member, and if you do take it out, if you're, you know, have to, there's a couple things you need to understand. One, the force of gravity of your house is driving straight through that post into the ground. So that's called a continuous load path. If you drew an arrow of force through your whole house, it would be driven, the last arrow would be at the bottom of that post straight into the ground. You can't just take that out without changing the continuous load path to another point that goes straight to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It's doable, for sure, but chances are you'll either have to beef up the steel that's there, like a wide flange or what's called an I-beam.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have to add a beam, and in order to get a greater span than wood, you'll have to pack up to an engineered product like an LSL or an LVL. Thirdly, and here's a mistake that can be made too, there's structure in the floor. There's probably a 2-foot by 2-foot or 3-foot by 3-foot blob of concrete in there in addition to the slab. So you can't just beef up the wood or the steel and move the posts out because you're just on a couple inches of concrete.
Yes.
So you long story short, any of those changes need to be, one, have an engineer's approval or stamped by an engineer, probably drawn by an architect.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of whether or not you move your post in your basement, you know what I'm going to say.
Yes.
Pull a permit.
Yes. You need to have somebody come by and check, make sure it's all good.
Because while basements are a very doable and very popular do-it-yourself project, even pros get in trouble because there's all kinds of stuff going on in there.
Yes.
From vapor issues to water, hydrostatic pressure seeping up through the floor.
So true.
All kinds of stuff from having a smoke detector in the right place. So you got to have all those things checked on. So whether you're doing it yourself or you're a pro, pull a permit.
Yes. So important because you don't want, you know, there to be water issues later. After you finish your entire basement and it's not, you know, inexpensive.
And everybody wants to throw carpet down there because you got a slab. Now flooring becomes an issue. Yeah, let's just put in carpet. Yeah. Wet carpet and carpet pad, yummy.
Yeah. Carpet usually isn't the material of choice in a bathroom either.
But as a homeowner, you know, don't get freaked out. As a homeowner, you can pull the permit yourself. Go down to your local building department, talk to people there, get the information that you need, because the punchline is building a basement that you can use and have fun in, not building a disaster.
Yeah, nobody wants to live in a disaster, no. I don't think.
Maybe that should be the title of the show we're looking at.
The anti-disaster
nobody wants to build a disaster.
Yeah, I don't really think that's a good name.
Yeah.
No.
No.
We'll
all right.
keep working on that, I think, Mark.
I got to get out of the creative arm of my Fix It Up life.
Let's try to keep working on that. Let's ideate during the commercial.
Oh, yeah, let's ideate.
Yeah, we should totally ideate.
So we hope that this information helps you.
Yes.
Because it is a big deal. You got to look at all the vapor stuff. You got to make sure that the walls are insulated or uninsulated. Might need a perimeter drain. All kinds of stuff you really need to address.
It's a big job.
Yeah, it's a big job, too.
Yes,
so
is.
Don't forget about the amount of time it's going to take you.
Well, I hope this helps. And if you have a fix-it-up question about a project that you're working on in your home, we would love to hear from you. So post a message on our Facebook page or email us at info@myfixituplife.com.
We love the questions.
We do. And we're getting more and more every day. And they help us to, you know, connect with you guys. And also, you know, on Facebook, when we get to share photos of what we're working on and what you're working on, we all learn from each other.
Oh, yeah, and we're all about showing off. Well, we're not all about showing
off. Mark is all about showing off, really. Come on, let's be honest.
We're all about you showing off.
Yes.
So do post the photos of that rockin' basement you blasted out or the kitchen that was on Facebook some weeks back that was awesome.
Yes. Or any tips that you've learned when you're using a tool or a new product or anything that can help everybody else, you know, make it easier for them when they're doing a project.
Sure. Take me to task. I'm writing all kinds of tool reviews and stuff like that. Tell me I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
Prove it, though.
Oh, I can prove it.
Gotta prove it.
Oh, I'll prove it.
And you know what the other thing is? A lot of guys get all like, you know, I don't really feel like asking a question. I'm going to look like a lame-o. You know, I should know because I'm a guy.
Mm-hmm.
No, you shouldn't. That's like saying I should know how to do my own appendicitis because I have an appendix.
Appendicitis? That's like...
Oh, that's the disease, not the operation. Appendectomy. And I'll be giving Teresa an appendectomy during the break.
Don't ask Mark any medical advice. Warning.
That's it. Yeah, well, wait till you hear my health and fitness advice.
Oh, gosh. Okay, we'll be
first,
back.
Light yourself on
in
fire.
In just a minute with more My Fix It Up Life.
Popular Mechanics Magazine provides answers for today's times with informative how-to and how-it-works stories on automotive, science, technology, and, of course, the home. Popular Mechanics provides the instruction and inspiration for the My Fix It Up Life crowd. Check out popularmechanics.com for the latest in science and technology news, their homeowners clinic, online automotive reviews, and the gadget of the week, or better yet, order a subscription. Just $10 for 12 issues. That's just 83 cents an issue for the only magazine that gives you the hands-on advice for all the topics you need to know. A great tool for the My Fix It Up Life toolbox is Popular Mechanics. Visit the site or order your subscription today at popularmechanics.com.
Fix It Up Life with my husband, Mark.
And my wife, Teresa.
And we are getting ready to get, you know, a little bit more organized with our special guest that's on the line. Are you ready, Mark?
I am ready. Are you ready?
You look pretty tidy today, which is a really good thing, because then, you know.
Well, I dry cleaned, pressed, and then re-dry cleaned everything.
You're so well pressed, I have to say. And your wallet's so organized and everything, too, I'm sure.
Okay, yeah, that's detail people want.
Anyway. So, Helen, are you on the line?
I am here. Hello.
Hi. Welcome to My Fix It Up Life. We are so excited to talk to you.
Oh, well, thanks. Thanks for calling me.
And, you know, I've seen Neat, your show, on, I think it airs on, was it HGTV Canada, and it's on Fit TV here in the U.S., too.
And yes, it is.
It is, and it's such a good show because, you know, you're helping all kinds of people get more organized and bringing all of your neat tips to, you know, all of us at home, too, who can't hire you to come into their own homes.
Well, it's my absolute pleasure. I think the people on the show are very courageous, and they are totally my heroes.
Oh, really? Yeah.
It sounds like organization is something of a passion for you.
Oh, absolutely. It's been the common thread in every job I've ever held as a kid, too.
Oh, no kidding.
Really? So you got started when you were just a little one?
Well, not professionally, but I was one of those strange kids whose bedroom was always tidy, even as a teenager.
Ooh, your parents must have just been so just, like, thrilled with you.
I think so. I guess they didn't know any other way, so... You know, they played a large role in it. They're both super organized, and, you know, sometimes it's inherited. Sometimes you see what's going on in your environment, and you pick up those habits, and I think maybe it was a combination of both for me.
And now, how did you get started as a professional organizer? Did you just decide one day to do it, or just people were asking you to help them constantly get
more? Well, you know, I didn't really realize it was a profession because it was fairly new in Canada when I had started. But I was actually just looking for temporary work to accumulate some money to take life coach training.
Oh.
And I looked back at my jobs and saw the common thread, so I decided to offer this, you know, and start a business. And before I knew it, it was very popular. Things were going great. I actually did take my life coach training as a result of doing so well in the organizing. And then I realized the two are so interconnected.
Oh, it's so true.
Clutter does affect every aspect of our lives. And as a life coach, you know, I could really help people by giving them also some organizational coaching.
Really? So, there's like a parallel or a crossover between sort of the metaphorical clutter and the actual clutter?
Well, from all the clients I've worked with, I've noticed that very often it starts with clutter in the mind. And until we could clear the space, they can't get clarity around where they want to go in terms of their goals, their career, their relationships, all the different things that make up our lives.
Wow. So the people that you help, I mean, do they come back to you later and just you have like just so such wonderful stories of people who finally got that job or finally found that relationship or something like that too?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh,
they're
wow.
thrilled. And a lot of times they don't expect those results. Very often they'll call me and say, well, you know, I just want to get organized so that I can have people over because I'm embarrassed to have people over. And, you know, so that's the initial goal. But then I find out, you know, not only am I having people over, but I've met someone special in my life, or I've gotten the courage to ask for a raise or decided to change paths and found my passion. So very often there are unexpected results from simply clearing the clutter.
Wow.
Wow. So is it fair to say then, Helen, that sort of the takeaway from cleaning your house or organizing your life isn't the clean house, but the clean life, I guess?
Yeah, I think it's a combination. It is the clean house as well because we feel better in our space and we feel better about ourselves when our space represents us, right? And so you don't want to walk into a space where there's chaos and there's things that you don't really like in your space and they don't make you feel good when you see them.
Oh, we wouldn't know anything about that.
Well, we're currently working on our house, a whole house renovation, and we're, you know, I'm crazy about making sure everyone puts their things away because we have so many things that can't be put away.
Yeah, like 300 square feet of flooring in our temporary kitchen.
I try to explain to everyone in the family that it just makes mommy happy when things, you know, you don't leave your shoes out and everything. It makes me feel a little bit, like, more calm. So,
yeah, it gives you a little bit of a sense of control in your environment, which is very calming.
Yes, I totally know what you're talking about.
Now, how can anyone, and I don't mean this in a diminishing way, there's a real question coming. Can anyone just say, hey, I'm a professional organizer and put an ad on Google or in the phone book, or do you have to be certified? And if you are certified, how does someone make sure they're getting a real organizer?
Well, I think it is important to ask whether someone is certified. In order to become certified, there is quite a bit of criteria that you have to meet, including having several hours working as a professional organizer.
Hmm.
So, do you need to be certified to be a professional organizer? No, because you need to be a professional organizer to accumulate enough hours to be eligible to write the exam for certification.
Oh,
so it depends what you want. If you want an organizer that's been working in the field for a while and is certified, then you can certainly find several. If that's not important to you, then you hire a professional organizer. And, yeah, you take your chances. You need to interview them on the phone and find out if they've got the credentials that you're looking for.
Now, if we were going to hire you or someone else to help us get more organized, what should we know to do before we even call you? Is there something that we should be prepared?
I would say go to the association website, either napo.net, or, if any Canadians are listening, organizersincanada.com. Those are both trade associations. So I believe if someone is serious about their profession, that they should be a member of the professional association. Once you go to their directory and you see a listing of organizers in your area, check out their website. Give them a call. Find out if there's a connection, because it's all about rapport.
Mm-hmm.
You have to like the person that's coming into your home. You have to trust the person who's going through your personal drawers.
That's so true.
Well, yeah. I mean, it must be for the homeowner, it must be, and if you could speak to this, kind of invasive.
Well, that's why I said earlier, they're my heroes, especially the ones who come on television and do it and, air their dirty laundry for the whole world to see. But it absolutely takes courage. And I think asking for help is a sign of strength, not a sign of weakness. And so for someone to pick up the phone and ask a professional organizer to help them, yes, it's very courageous. But at the same time, if you're stuck and overwhelmed doing nothing, will be so much worse 5 years from now, or even 1 year from now. If you need help, pick up the phone and do it now. It'll be a lot easier than waiting.
Now, for somebody who wants to try to declutter their house or whatever it is on their own, how do you even get started? I know you have a book that's out. Is your book a guide to getting started on your own? That you kind of have a little bit of Helen that you can bring home with you from the bookstore?
It absolutely is a do-it-yourself book,
mm-hmm.
but I'll tell you what's unique about it. I have talked to so many clients who've said to me, I've read books on organizing, I've picked up the magazines, I've watched the shows, I've tried the techniques, and they don't work for me. And so there's a sense of failure. And this new book of mine says, hey, it's not your fault. It's just that the techniques you've been using are not a good fit for the way your brain is wired.
Oh.
And so this book, Organizing Outside the Box, the subtitle is Conquer Clutter Using Your Natural Learning Style.
Mm.
And so there's a quiz at the beginning of the book that helps you determine whether you are auditory, which means you learn by hearing, whether you are visual, which means you learn by seeing, or whether you're kinesthetic, which means you learn by doing. Once you have that key piece of information, then you simply go to that section in the book, and I've laid out all kinds of tips, time management tips, paper decluttering tips, all the different things that will be a good fit for you so that you can not only get organized in a way that's natural, but so that you can maintain it over the long term because it doesn't take as much effort.
Oh, I like that.
What if you're like me and you're none of those things?
not any kind of learner.
Yeah, I can't see, hear, or do anything.
Well, it's interesting. You bring up an interesting point, Mark, because a lot of people will say to me, well, I don't think I'm just one. And that's very true. I think, a lot of people are a combination of two or even three of the learning styles, but we all have a preference. And so maybe we've been accommodating people in our lives that are a different learning style, and so we've moved a little bit further away from our natural learning style, but there is a predominant one, and once you know that, it'll certainly help you.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. I teach a lot of clinics to professional builders and remodelers, and I can see the lights go on and off when I'm doing these demonstrations. If I've got my hands on something, some of the guys are more attuned, and if I'm talking about it, some of the other guys are picking it up and asking questions, and so I'm definitely with you on that.
That's
right, and
thing.
So it helps you to know what other people's learning style is, because you can actually ask them the questions or ask them the request in a way that they can understand it. And so this guide is also a communications guide, because if you work with people or you have people in your family that learn differently from you and they never seem to be doing anything that you ask them to do, chances are it's the way you're asking. Oh.
Well, okay, I'm gonna have to rejigger everything.
That's very interesting.
To reorganize that. Thanks, Helen.
I like that.
My pleasure. But
just don't say it louder. You just
well,
have
no,
to
but
just
I mean, let me.
But why are you?
You know what? Let me give you a perfect example. I'm a visual learner. If you know, my husband says, "Oh, by the way, as I'm going out the door, can you also pick up milk, juice, and eggs?" Mm. I get to the grocery store. I follow my list because I'm visual, but because I'm not auditory, I've forgotten what he's asked me to pick up at the grocery store. So
that.
It would be helpful for him to know that as a visual person, I need to see it written down.
Yeah, I'm a visual person, too. I struggle with remembering things I hear. I do.
Yeah, you
That's
do.
True. I have to see everything.
Yeah.
I have to draw everything, you know, everything we talk about, I have to draw it down. I have to draw it out. I have to write it down. I have to read it. And
yeah.
I can, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we
and
can't
what about
see
you, Mark?
Mary.
What do you...
I can't see you, Mary. That's so awful, Mark.
Sorry, I'm not
That's an awful joke.
What do you think your style is, Mark?
I would say that I'm a blend. I guess
yes.
If you have to pick one, it's visual.
I don't think so.
Also, by doing and by hearing, whatever my wife says. I don't know. What are you? What you said? You're visual.
You're such
well,
a
you know what? Let me help you out, Mark. Let me help you out. If you're going to a place, if you're driving somewhere for the very first time, what kind of directions do you have? Do you prefer that they be written, or do you use the sound on the GPS, or do you rather just kind of drive around and get a sense of the landmarks?
Oh, I don't even print the directions on MapQuest. I look at the map.
You look at the map.
I look at the map. Okay. I do it myself.
Right. You sounds know, like you're kinesthetic to me.
He is.
What's kinesthetic again?
It's physical, honey. You
learn by
do
doing.
Yeah.
Kinesthetic people throw out the instructions. They just build it, you know,
yes.
Find their way, trial and error.
Yeah,
that's how we do things at our house when we work on projects. I have to draw everything. And he's like, let's just build it. Let's just,
yeah,
you know,
see?
Let's just
yeah.
put things together. And it's like, I have to see it first.
Yeah, well, I do this thing that that's called full-size templating. Like, when I do stuff... I'll build like a pattern piece that's the actual, you know, 1 inch equals 1 inch.
Right.
Versus, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
not small.
Different
you
kinds
know what
of
I find fascinating? You're both in radio and neither of you are auditory learners. I just think that's hilarious.
I wasn't even listening to what you said. I don't even have headphones. I just talk.
You guys are fun.
He just talks. Yeah, that's true. I just point at him and he'll say something.
It's not. We are listening very carefully. We're enjoying.
I do have a question though. If someone gets your book, Organizing Outside the Box, and they figure, you know, they're confused about what kind of learning style they are, or if they're confused about something, can they go to your website? Is there extra information or anything on your website that?
Yes, they can go to the Organizing Outside the Box website.
Okay.
OrganizingOutsideTheBox.com. They can actually take the quiz for free. You don't even have to buy the book. Take the quiz.
On your website, there's a quiz?
Yeah, on the website, take the quiz, and you know, at least you'll know what your learning style is, and go from there. We have all kinds of resources on the website as well.
Wow.
Wow.
Now, are you doing life coaching too?
Yes.
Can you, for our listeners, because obviously I know, can you explain what life coaching really is?
Sure. Well, we all know in the Olympics that the sports people have a coach, right?
Yeah.
Everyone involved in sports does better with a coach. And so why not have someone like that in your life? To hold you accountable, to be your cheerleader, to ask you the tough questions that sometimes you don't ask yourself.
Well,
right?
Except for the accountability part, you can come over anytime you want.
Uh-huh. That's so good, Mark.
Well, I think everyone needs some kind of accountability because we all have great intentions, but life gets so busy that we end up just putting out the fires rather than looking at the big picture and deciding, you know, what do you really want for your life and how are you going to get there?
I'm so with you.
Yeah, we spend a lot of time trying to spend time on that.
Yes.
Which is really important to make sure our ship is going in the right direction.
We have a ship?
Right. We do.
You know, I already want to have you back on. I do this to Teresa all the time.
I
invite guests back on like
halfway
through the interview.
Well, I have another question before we say goodbye to her.
We're saying goodbye?
No, I thought you were.
No.
I am so not ready.
I already want to have Helen back on. Just talk about life coaching stuff.
Well, I think that would be good.
I'd love to be back. Sure.
Oh, yeah. Let's stay with organization.
But I have a very...
I mean, try to be organized.
Mark,
Hello.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Anyway, I have a very specific question for you, Helen.
Yes. Okay, shoot.
Now, school papers. We get tons of school papers every day. Our 8-year-old, she's in the third grade, and I think they, you know...
They're clear-cutting an acre of forest every day just
constantly.
For her.
We got packets of stuff at the beginning of the year saying the PTA wasn't going to send out any more papers than they had to, while they sent out 20 papers on why they weren't going to send out papers.
Wow.
So what do we do with all of this stuff? I mean... things that we want to keep or throw, you know, throwing away things. Some things I give to her that she wants to keep as, like, you know, a girlfriend will draw a picture for her or something.
Right.
But
okay.
Organizing all of it and, like, having a strategy, a plan for school papers. Is there any tips that you can share?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I would contact the school and ask them if there's any way that they could start a new policy where they would email to the parents as opposed to send the paperwork. That's the first thing I would say.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
So many people with BlackBerries now as well. Of course, there might be the odd person that doesn't have email, probably few, very few. But I would try and make some changes at that level, first of all. But second of all, as the paper is coming in, you need to have a specific place for it all the time. Because we know that if we put a piece of paper down on a horizontal surface just for now, it will breed like bunnies. And before we know it, there's this huge pile and no time to deal with it because it's overwhelming. So have a designated container for it and always, you know, deposit it there and then clear it out on a regular basis before it gets too overwhelming.
Wow, I might just take her out of school. Put her to work in the grist.
We're gonna homeschool her so that she doesn't bring any papers anymore.
Put her to work driving a tractor for
but
the.
But it just
drastic.
Seems that the
that's drastic.
It now, seems that there's now, more papers these days than there were when we were kids. I just.
You know what? We get more mail in 1 week than our grandparents got in a year.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
And so that's why we need to have a system to deal with it.
Oh.
You know, it can get very overwhelming, but the system needs to fit. And so, you know, I don't think there's enough time on the call for me to give suggestions for every learning style. But I'll tell you, Teresa, for you, visual, out of sight is often out of mind. So rather than have it, you know, in a drawer somewhere where you're going to forget about it, I would say have an open system. So a basket, perhaps, where you can just drop the paperwork in, or trays would work well for you.
Mm.
Anything opened, and especially clear things where, you know, it's easy to see.
I'm taking the doors off of all of our closets and making her walk around the house.
Oh, no, please.
She'll see it.
Yeah, physical much?
Yeah, physical. I'll hold her hand, walk her around.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's a fine line because the visual person gets overwhelmed when they have too much to look at. So
true.
It's a fine line, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I'm not much for the fine lines.
No, he's not.
To me, whispering is a megaphone.
I once told Mark that we needed to get more organized in our kitchen, and he literally picked up the kitchen table and said, well, I can get rid of this right now, and he wasn't joking.
No, I had it in my hands. I honestly thought I heard her say, get rid of the table.
He thought he said, get more organized in the kitchen. I was thinking about, like, Tupperware, and he's like, well, I can get rid of this.
Get rid of this.
Well, that's hilarious.
Yeah. So, yeah, physical much, I'd say. That's really good, though. Yeah, I have a million questions about organization, and we should probably check out your book. And
yes, please do. It's available online at my website. You can also go to weorganizeyou.com, which is my own website. You can buy it there. It's available on online bookstores like Amazon and Indigo Chapters.
Ooh.
Cool.
So very easy to get your hands on it.
Very cool.
Very
cool. We'll
it's,
definitely have to scope it out.
And it's been a pleasure, Helen. Thank you so much for joining us on My Fix It Up Life. And we hope to have you back again soon.
Thank you so much. I'd love to.
Thank you. And we'll be back in just a minute with more My Fix It Up Life.
TikTok, Mark.
What?
Time is running out for homeowners to take advantage of up to $1,500 in energy tax credit from the federal government on their 2010 taxes.
That's right. And if homeowners are thinking about replacing their windows, Simonton Windows has energy tax credit glass packages that are guaranteed to meet the government's requirements.
It's like money in your pocket, daily savings on energy bills, and a $1,500 tax credit.
For more information, visit Simonton.com/tax credit or call 1-800-746-6686 today. Hurry before time runs out.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
You're back inside my Fix It Up Life, and Mark is going to, like, lift a car now.
Yeah!
Yeah.
I love that tune!
I know you do.
I didn't know that was coming.
Well, you
Let's go!
Oh, my goodness. Seriously?
I love that song.
I'm a little scared.
All right.
Maybe we won't play that song again.
Okay. So next we'll be giving away the Stanley Fat Max Lock and Stock to one lucky fan.
Well, yeah, Mark threw it out the window.
Yeah, just crushed it.
Totally. Yeah. And we had a lot of really cool entries. And I loved the reasons that we got because there are a lot of imaginative people out there. You people are interesting.
Well,
what
that,
you
yeah.
want to lock and stock.
It's true. We got a lot of varied answers.
Yes, we did.
And
one that I really liked was from Amanda on Facebook, and she said that she wanted it to put her craft items in. And while, Mark, that's probably not what comes top of mind to you and other men lifting cars right now.
You go from Metallica to craft items? I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah.
But I get
it. I can do that. I'm a girl. I can totally do that.
Yeah.
But it's a good thing because you can wheel it around. You can put it in your car, and it's got so many little compartments. You can totally put lots of little things, little items in that you can't see because they're too small for, your male eyes to see.
Yeah, but if you're a guy or if you're doing fix-it-up stuff like building decks, remodeling houses, those kinds of things, the bins that come in the lock and stock, this is genius, by the way. Yeah, and it's not just because Stanley's a friend of ours. Whoever made this, whatever. The bins accept a 5-pound box of screws.
Yes, Mark's fired up about that because then he doesn't have to dismantle the box and put some in, put some somewhere else.
Yeah, with other boxes, they're good for storage, but only for half of the screws that you buy.
Exactly.
So really, this is a storage solution.
It is. And I just want to mention that Brent wrote in and he said that he totally wanted it because he uses coffee cans to put his stuff in.
Old school, baby.
Yeah. And Joey wrote in. And he said that he's always going to the hardware store to buy screws that he knows he already has. He just can't find them. That's such a big problem.
Got to take the Helen advice and get organized.
But the grand winner is...
The granddaddy, the grand poobah.
I wouldn't really say grand poobah because it's a girl. Sharon. She wrote in from Minnesota and said, unfortunately, her and her husband have been having trouble because, they haven't been working very much lately.
Yeah.
Which is kind of,
recession
a lot.
Recession issue.
Yeah.
Oh.
But.
Don't like it.
She wanted to win this because her son is graduating from college in May, and he'll have his degree in electrical maintenance, and they want to be able to give him a really nice gift for graduation, and this will totally get him started on the right path, too.
This is a home run, and
he'll
electricians can store all those parts, conduit elbows, little hoobie whatty things.
All of the little items. He'll totally be organized, and he'll totally be on his way to big success. So, Sharon, you won. Congratulations, and don't share this show with your son yet until you give him the prize.
Yeah.
There you go.
Or hopefully he just found out.
Oh, maybe he did just find
That'd
out.
Be cool.
Well, happy graduation. Congratulations on your graduation.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. And Mark.
Yes. Teresa.
Yes.
You said my name and stared at me.
I just want to. Do I have time to mention this? A little story from yesterday?
Oh, you have to mention
about,
it.
About,
we didn't get to it earlier.
Yeah.
But when we were in our high-level meeting at the Hearst Tower yesterday.
We had a meeting with some important guys yesterday, and it was awesome. They're so nice, and we had so much fun. And in the middle of the meeting, we're talking business.
Now, it's important.
And I'm facing the window.
It's important to point out all the way to the punchline, wife of mine.
You said, hurry up.
But you got to put in all the salient details. We're 30 stories in the air.
We were in the 30th floor of the building, and there's a tall building next to it.
Yes, Manhattan skyline.
And I was facing the window.
Yes.
The gentleman we weren't having the meeting with were not facing the window.
Right.
In part of the meeting, they were talking, and I was having a lot of trouble concentrating on what they were saying.
Because.
And I had to interrupt them and say, I am so sorry, but I can't pay attention right this second.
I thought you were going to barf.
I was sick to my stomach. Looking outside, across the way, there was a guy who was sitting in a window. Literally half of his body was out the window, hanging out of the window, cleaning the window. No harness,
Nothing.
No window washer gear.
Nothing.
No nothing.
No, he had on a gray flannel Dickies uniform.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, or flannel, cotton, whatever that stuff is.
I thought I was going to throw up.
One hand inside
the glass. I was so nervous for him.
The other hand and leg, his entire half of his body is outside, and he's washing the thing.
Well, and for a, while, I felt like such a girl because, you know, I was the only girl in the meeting, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm freaked out. And then we, you know, we finished our meeting, we walked out into the hallway, and there is everybody else in the office pointing and looking out the window at this guy.
Oh, the staff of Popular Mechanics is paralyzed because this guy is...
The other girl, I think there's only two other girls in this part of the office.
Barbara and Jane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Barbara was totally freaked out, too. She's like, I can't even look. All the guys are pointing and talking about it, and it was just, I couldn't even, I don't even know what happened. But anyway, we should probably talk about next week's show.
We probably should talk about next week's show.
And next week, we are going to share a show that we did in Vegas and with Ed Del Grande, Master Plumber.
Ed's a great guy.
And some news that we learned about from Rockwell Tools, Da Vinci Roofscape, Simonson Windows, Western Red Cedar, and Regency Fireplaces.
Excellent. Yeah. So email us at info@myfixituplife.com.
Mm-hmm.
Why you want to win the prizes, the excellent prizes, no less, that we will have up for grabs.
That are on our website right now. Check them out.
At myfixituplife.com. You just might win. Check us out on Twitter.
Yes. Follow us on Twitter.
Follow us on Twitter.
Become a fan on Facebook.
Totally. We are over 2,000 fans on Facebook.
And over 3,000 followers are on Twitter. More than any other home improvement radio show.
We are the kings of social networking.
King and queen.
King and queen. So find out insider news and tune in next week.
Ooh.
For My Fix It Up Life.